Let's read again from the second chapter of Luke, beginning with verse 25. Luke 2:25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came with the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took he him up in his arms and praised God and said, Lord, now let me, thy servant, depart in peace. Let me die according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." There are two expressions which are very common today. In fact, they have been used for years and years and years. One of them is this. Oftentimes, when people refer to a person who has recently died, they're frequently heard to say, well, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. Meaning, he was ready to die and to meet God. For the scripture says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And what they're saying is this: he was ready to die, and he was ready to stand before God in judgment. He was ready. And then the second expression, you find perhaps two people discussing old age and death and leaving this world, and you'll hear one of them say, well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to go. And which is not always the case. If you'll turn with me to Isaiah 28, keep Luke 2. Now I'm coming back there. But Isaiah 28, here's some people that were pretty confident about being ready to die. And the Lord said they had a false refuge. A false refuge. He in Isaiah 28, verse 14, Isaiah said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." These were religious leaders. They were the rulers of the religious kingdom. "You have said, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it won't come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." We have a refuge, we have a hiding place. But he said it's a refuge of lies. And it's a false hiding place. And you can make a covenant with death, and a man can say, well, I'm ready to go, I'm not afraid to die, but my subject tonight is this: when is a person ready to die? When is a person ready to die? When can we confidently and with assurance say, well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm ready to die. When are we ready? Now, it's a serious subject, not one to be taken lightly. For the really great and important things in regard to this life and eternity are only done one time. The great and important things are only done one time. We're born once. And we have very little to do with that. We're born one time. That's all. Never again. Just one time. Secondly, we die one time. You don't have an opportunity to die twice. You die one time. And we have very little to do with that, because the Scripture says God has determined our bounds, set our bounds, and our months are determined, our days are determined. And we stand before God in judgment one time. We meet God once. We're born once, we die once, and we meet God once. But that latter appointment, how I die and how I meet God, I have something to do with that. Yeah, I can have something to do with that. There's some preparation that can be made. That's what Scripture says, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. And so I've selected for my text Luke chapter 2. And I believe I can show from this Scripture when a man, woman, young person is really ready to die. And when they're gone, somebody can say of them, he was certainly ready. Or she was certainly ready. Or we could say of ourselves, I'm ready. I'm ready to meet God. I'm ready to meet God. I have a righteousness that with which he's pleased. I have a clear justification before his justice. I'm ready. Well, here in verse 25, let's take this first. Number one, this man Simeon had an interest in spiritual matters. He had an interest. It says here in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Now, I've checked and rechecked, and there's no way to prove he was a priest. I don't think he was a priest. He wasn't a high priest. We really don't know who Simeon was. We don't know very much about him. We know he was a man, and we know he was in Jerusalem. But we know this about him. That same man was a just man and a devout man and a man who was waiting for the coming, the consolation of Israel, the coming of the Messiah. This man had an interest in the things of God. We know that about him. Now, we don't know very much about him, but we do know that he had an interest in the things of God, in spiritual matters. And I'm saying this, this is not the rule without exception, but I look throughout the Scriptures and I find that most of the Lord's people, most of the people whom the Lord brought to a knowledge of the gospel, had an interest in that gospel. They had a real, genuine interest in that gospel. I preached up in Dingus two nights this week, Thursday night and Friday night. And something gave me a great deal of pleasure, great deal of joy. I came home so very happy. There's a young man there, I've known him since he was, I suppose, seven or eight years old. Known his family and him since he was a little boy. I've been going up there preaching for 14 years, I guess, 12, 13, 14 years. I've known him since he's a little boy. He's married now. And he's a big, strong man, a handsome young man. And he drives an 18-wheeler. He's a man among men. He sails down the highway with 40,000 pounds of coal behind him, rolling, keeping the coal going. But these two nights, when I was up there preaching, he and his wife were there early and stayed late. And they sat and he sat and listened to me preach the gospel. Almost enraptured with the gospel. I could see it written on his face. I could see the interest. I could see the keen interest in the singing, in the reading of the word, especially in the preaching of the word. And after the message, each night, I would go by him and shake hands with him. He'd say, "Oh, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. I enjoyed that." And the night I got ready to leave, he and I had to stay another night because I had some problems and I couldn't come home. I stayed. He said, "Go stay at my house and we'll just sit up and talk all night long." Listen, I came home. Now that's where it starts. He says he's saved. I don't know. But it sure looks like he's going to be. Has he made a profession? I don't know. I don't know. But I do know there's an interest. And I'll tell you this. You go through the scripture and you find Cornelius and you find Lydia. Lydia, here's a woman, a seller of purple from another city in Philippi. And she looks up some people who are worshiping God and meets with them down by the river. She's got some interest. She didn't know the gospel. She didn't know the apostles. She didn't know Christ. But she wanted to know God. She had an interest. Look at Zacchaeus. Running ahead, climbing up in a tree. Look at the Ethiopian eunuch. Even going through the scripture, and you see this man Simeon was a man with an interest in the things of God. He said, "There's a Messiah coming." All right, secondly, verse 26. "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death." He wouldn't die before he'd seen the Lord Christ. Now, he knew that he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord Christ because God showed him that. But I'm telling you one thing is certain. Not one of God's elect will die until they have seen Christ. You can bank on that. Not one of God's elect will die until they've seen Christ. You may not know that, but he knows it. He knows it. If you're one of his sheep, if the Father gave you to the Son, and the Son took upon himself to be your servitor, and went to the cross of Calvary and died for your sins, you may have not the slightest knowledge of that, but he knows it. You may not know him, but he knows you. Remember in that movie, The Ten Commandments, when Moses' wife, Zipporah, you remember? They're talking about that mountain, the mountain of God. And she was saying something about God, and Moses had freshly come out of Egypt, 40, 45 years of age, and he said, "I don't know your God." She said, "Moses, he knows you." He knows you. And I say this over this whole congregation. There may be somebody here tonight that will say to me, "I don't know your God." Well, I tell you this. If you're one of his elect, he knows you. He knows you. And he'll have you. And you'll never die till you by faith have seen Christ. Now the covenant assures that. The covenant assures that. The covenant of God's grace says, "All that my Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the covenant. This is the will. This is the purpose of him that sent me, of all which he hath given me. I'll lose nothing, but I'll raise it up at the last day." The covenant assures this fact that you'll never die if you're one of God's elect till you've seen Christ. The Father assures it. They murmured at him because he said, "I came down from heaven." He said, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. As it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. And he that hath heard of the Father and learned of the Father, he'll come to me." He'll come. The Father assures it. The covenant assures it. The shepherd assures it. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. And the Holy Spirit assures it. Whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. All right, thirdly, look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. This is interesting. He came by the Spirit to meet Christ. Here is Mary and Joseph. Christ was born in Bethlehem. They fled to Egypt. All of these things took place. There's certain requirements upon Jewish parents when children were born, especially boys. They were to be circumcised the eighth day. That's when they named them. And then certain purification laws were in effect. And Mary, after a certain length of time, after she gave birth to a son, a certain length of time passed, and she had to offer some kind of sacrifice. And they were a poor family. They couldn't bring a lamb or a ram. They brought turtle doves or pigeons, just ordinary pigeons. That's what's said back there. You read. She brought pigeons. And they were to bring that, and they were to bring the child to the temple. And you see, the Spirit of God, this was things that had to be done and were done and ordered by God. And this man is over here in Jerusalem and so forth. And at the time they brought Christ to the temple, God brought him to the temple. And it was no accident. Simeon was brought by the Spirit of God to the temple at just the time that the Lord Jesus was brought there. The Lord crossed his path. And Simeon saw Christ. In verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms. He saw him. He saw Christ. Turn with me to John 6. Hold that scripture there and turn to John 6. He saw Christ. Now this is interesting. In John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me. Let's go back up a little bit to that I quoted a while ago. John 6:37. Now I want to make this very clear if I can. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I'll in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, that is the Messiah's will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will. This is his will. You know, you talk about what Bob, you and I are talking about today is... Somebody says it's the will of God to save everybody. No, it's the will of God to save those whom he gave to Christ. That's what he says here. This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I'll lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Now, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son, everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Now, God doesn't save his people without or apart from faith. He made a covenant of grace with Christ, in Christ, and gave Christ to people. And Christ came down here, our Lord came down, and by his obedience and death gave to these people a perfect righteousness and a right standing before justice. But these people have got to believe. They've got to hear the gospel. They've got to see who Christ is and what he did, why he did it, and rest in him, believe on him. So God sends them the gospel. And they will come because they will see Christ and they will believe on him. Now, it matters not how much revelation they have. The important thing is that they see him. You see what I'm saying? I'm not talking about with these eyes. A lot of people saw him with these eyes who never believed on him. You remember reading in this, when you read in the study, he raised Lazarus. He raised the man from the dead. And some believed on him, but others ran and told the Pharisees. Said, you know what he did? They didn't believe on him. They wanted him killed. But these people see Christ with eyes of faith. They see him with the understanding and with the emotions and the heart. Abel saw him in a lamb sacrifice. Abel saw Christ in that lamb. That's right. By faith, he offered a lamb. Abraham saw him in a miraculous son, in Isaac. He did. Isaiah saw him in a vision, on a throne. Here, Simeon saw him as an infant in his mother's arms. The disciples saw him on a cross. We see him in the gospel. The same Jesus Peter kept talking about there on Pentecost, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner. So Simeon came into the temple and he saw this infant. You say, well, he didn't see him on a cross. He didn't see him buried and crucified, buried and risen again. He didn't see him enthroned. It matters not how much revelation, it's who's revealed to you. That's the key. Isn't that right, John? That's the reason these people in the Old Testament were saved by looking to the Christ who will come. They knew that God would come into this world. Behold, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with son. You'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And they saw that. They saw that by faith. And you and I have more revelation than anybody's had. We've got more responsibility. We've got more pressure. We know more than those people knew back then, more than Simeon. But Simeon saw him. Simeon saw him. All right, here's the fourth thing, verse 28. Back to the text. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I don't believe I'm overextending the picture now. God revealed who that infant is to Simeon. That's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Simeon embraced him. Simeon believed and embraced him. He took him up in his arms. It was an embrace of faith. It was an embrace of love. I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him. It was an embrace of hope. He took him up in his arms. And that's when a person comes to saving faith, when he literally, actually receives Christ, takes him up in his arms. And when Simeon took this infant up in his arms, Simeon let go of all the law and the types and the Sabbaths and the feasts and the sacrifices. He let go of all those things. He had God's salvation. Can you imagine him going back to anything after he'd seen Christ? Can you imagine him going back to those beggarly elements after he'd seen the Lord Christ and took him up in his arms? Here's my hope. My hope's in the man, the God-man, who will honor the law of God, satisfy the justice of God, and enter into glory for me. And then he took him up in his arms, and listen to this, and he blessed God. He blessed God. He gave God all the glory. It was the gift of God's grace, the fulfillment of all of God's promises. He blessed God. He praised God for giving Christ, for sending Christ, for allowing him to see Christ, for bringing him to know Christ, for giving him an understanding of the glory of Christ. He blessed God. Salvation's of the Lord. I see this so clearly here. I see this man starting out at the beginning with an interest. And I see that he's not going to die till he's seen Christ, till he's seen Christ. And I see God bringing him there, crossing his path, an encounter with Christ, the Christ of God. And He recognizes it. One of God's elect will recognize this gospel. He will. He's got discernment. He's got an ear for the gospel. He'll recognize it. He'll know it when he hears it. He'll know it. Christ said, another shepherd they will not follow. Another voice they will not hear. You say, well, my friends, they don't understand what I'm talking about, but they follow these preachers, these self-seeking preachers. They don't have an ear. They don't have an ear of discernment. They don't have a heart of understanding. God gives that. That's the reason Simeon, when he saw the Christ, he took him up in his arms. And he didn't get enamored with the excitement of the moment or the experience. He immediately lifted his eyes and blessed God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving me an understanding. Thank you that I see Christ. And then he said this. Verse 29, and he said, Lord, now let me die. Now let me die. Let me die. According to your word, let me depart in peace. Let me depart in confidence and assurance, comfort and peace. I'm ready. Because I've seen, my eyes have seen your salvation. That's when a man's ready. That's when he's ready. I tell you, when a believer has been awakened by the Spirit of God and given an interest in the things of God, and God has crossed his path with the gospel, who Christ is, his Christ and his person and work, why he came to this earth, what he did, where he is now, who he is. This issue is a person. Who is Jesus Christ? What think you of Christ? What's he to you? To me? I've seen the Lord. I know who he is. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him. And so, all right. Now he says, let me die. According to your word, die in peace. Because I've seen your salvation. That's when a man's ready to die. I tell you, when there was a flood, God provided an ark. When there was a manslayer, God provided a city of refuge. When there was a thirst, God provided a rock. When there was death in the camp, God provided a serpent lifted on a pole. And I'll tell you, where there's a sinner, God provides a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. I believe a lot of folks here tonight can say with Simeon, Lord, it's all right. It's all right. I'm not afraid. Now, according to your word, when it pleases you, you let me depart. Depart in peace. I've seen thy salvation. I've seen him. And I'm happy with him. And I rejoice in him. I'm content in him. And I've embraced him with faith, hope, and love. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn.